Reading first from Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, then 17 through 25. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And then reading lastly from Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. "When history as we know it comes to an end, this is what we will see. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you asking now for the illumination from your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us your work from generation to generation, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you have traveled Interstate 26 from here up to Asheville, you have noticed that the widening of Interstate 26 has begun. It is a great work. It is a work that has been in the process for a long time, but it is just now starting to show itself. The trees are being cut down, but there's still a long way to go. Well, any great work requires great and long preparations be made beforehand. As a matter of fact, the greater the project, the greater the preparations must be. The gospel according to Matthew looks at it this same way. The gospel according to Matthew opens with Jesus's family tree. From Abraham to Joseph, his father, we are shown the connection. The connection from generation after generation. You know, our tendency is that when we come to the genealogy of Christ, we kind of just skip over it and go right to the story of the birth of Jesus. We might consider it being uninteresting, So we just kind of skip over it. We know it's there, but we don't pay much attention to it. But we should bear in mind that the Holy Spirit never writes anything that is uninteresting or anything that is to be skipped over. The listing of names is not just some side note, but is closely connected to what follows, as well as everything else Matthew is going to write about. It lays the foundation for the main point of the book of Matthew. We could say that the genealogy of Christ as found in Matthew, as well as in Luke, records for us the great and long preparations that God was doing from generation after generation to prepare the church for God's visitation with us. The birth in chapter 1, it would happen in just a few minutes. But the preparation for the birth took many generations, thousands of years. We were talking about the age of the earth in Sunday school. Well, if the age of the earth is let's just say 6 to 10,000 years old, the preparation that God was making to bring about the birth of Emmanuel took 6 to 10,000 years to do. Because what Matthew wants us to see is that Jesus is the true seed of David. He is the true son of Abraham. God has had a great and long work throughout history that Jesus alone is our hope. Jesus alone is the manifestation and the fulfillment of what God has been preparing the church for. The reason then for the genealogy is to prepare us for what comes in verses 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, sometimes we just do things and we don't really think about it. Just kind of instantaneous, and we don't think about it. We just kind of react to things. Not God. When we do things in a hurry, sometimes then we stop and think, well, why did I do it that way? Not God. The genealogy that's listed here indicates to the Jewish reader as well as to the Gentile reader that the birth of Jesus is not some last minute, unthought out work of God. But instead, it is the fulfillment of God's promises to all generations. Jesus is the great work that has taken long preparations to accomplish. Jesus is the Son of David. He is the Son of Abraham. He is the one who will restore the relationship between God and God's people. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the one who will bring peace between God and his people. You see, throughout history, Emmanuel was the expectation of the church in Israel. The nation of Israel, it is the forerunner of the church today. And they were anticipating. They were anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. That's why when Jesus comes on the scene, many ask him, are you the one? John the Baptist asks him, are you the one that we are waiting on, or should we wait for someone else? They were waiting on the appearance of Christ. And just as they were waiting on the appearance of Christ, we are waiting on the second appearance of Christ. And this is the meaning of Emmanuel. It is God with us. God has planned to create for himself a people that he may enjoy and that they may enjoy him. And we see this theme from Genesis to Revelation as the Bible has a binding that holds all the books together. The binding that holds the Bible together. The theme of the entire Bible is, I will be your God and you will be my people. What was the purpose of the creation? The purpose of the creation was to create a place where God's people may live with him. But the devil and sin, it seems that they destroyed God's purpose. No. Not a bit. Because after God deals with Noah and his family and saving the infant church out of the destruction of the flood, God appears to Abraham and says, I'm going to be your God. And you're going to be my people. I'm going to live with you. You're going to live with me. You are going to enjoy me. And my children, I'm going to enjoy you. We see that in Genesis chapter 17. But then we skip ahead hundreds of years. And Moses is on the scene. He's dealing with Egypt. He's dealing with Israel in captivity. The same promise is given to Moses. Exodus chapter 6. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. This is what God said was the reason for him bringing the people out of slavery, out of Egypt. He guided them by the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day. He was in the midst of the people. And as we follow redemptive history even further, the tent of meeting was erected there in the middle of the camp. And Levites, priests, were appointed. And so what the scriptures reveal to us is that God is fulfilling his promises, that he's living in the midst of his people. But they just can't approach him any way they want to. No. Yes, he is living in the midst of his people. But there must be a mediator. There must be someone to intercede between the people and God. And so the Levitical order of priests was established. Then we skip ahead hundreds of years. Then we see the same theme and the same intention with the covenants that God established with the kings of Israel. In 2 Samuel, we read, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. I will raise up your offspring and establish my kingdom in him. And during the time of the kings, God raised up prophets, one of those being Ezekiel. And Ezekiel echoes the same design of God with the heirs of David's throne and its connection with the covenants. Ezekiel 34, I, Yahweh, will be their God and my servant David, prince in their midst. As a covenantal representative, the king represents all of the people. Because the king belongs to the Lord, therefore all the people belong to the Lord. The essence of the covenant will then find its fulfillment through God's intimate relationship with the heir of the Davidic throne. So then, according to the Old Testament, the Emmanuel concept represents God dealing and living with His people. He lives with them as a father. He lives with them as a prophet and a priest and a king. And once again, Ezekiel brings out these distinctive roles of the Emmanuel concept. Here's the king. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. Here's the prophet. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. Here is God as father. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your fathers, the land your fathers loved. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and I will establish them and increase their numbers. Here's the idea of the king again. David, my servant, will be their prince. Here's the idea of the priest. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. Thus you see, the expectation of Israel, the expectation of the Jews in the days before the birth of Jesus, their expectation is Emmanuel. That God is going to dwell in our midst. And He's going to dwell in our midst as a king and as a prophet and a priest. And He will be a father to us. Matter of fact, the high priestly prayer was, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. This was the Emmanuel concept for Israel. God had promised for over 2,000 years before the star ever appeared over Bethlehem, that God was going to live with His people. And this is why Matthew writes for us the genealogy of Jesus. He wants his readers to understand that the wait is over. You know, you remember when you were a kid and it's Christmas Eve and all the presents under the tree? Oh man, just let me at it. You know, nope, you got to wait till Christmas Day. And so the anticipation just builds. Well, for thousands of years, the anticipation of Emmanuel was building. And Matthew says, it's over. The time of waiting is over. The theme of the covenants, I will be your God and you will be my people, finds its fulfillment not in the Ark of the Covenant, not in the tent of meeting, not in the Levitical order of priests. But the theme of the covenants, I will be your God and you will be my people, finds its fulfillment in this child in the manger. He is your God and He will dwell with you. He will be your prophet, for He will speak God's words to you. He will be your priest, because He will intercede for you. And He will be your king to ensure that all things work to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And because He is the fulfillment of all the covenants in the Bible, He is the unifying factor of the Bible. It is Jesus Christ who created the world. It is Jesus Christ who spoke to Adam. It is Jesus Christ who brought the flood upon the earth. It is Jesus Christ who hid Noah and his family in the ark. The ark is a representative of Christ. It is Jesus Christ who spoke with Abraham. It is Jesus Christ who spoke with Isaac and Jacob. It is Jesus Christ who sent Joseph into Egypt. It is Jesus Christ who raised up Moses and sent him into Egypt. It is Jesus Christ who is the pillar of fire. It is Jesus Christ who is the pillar of smoke. It is Jesus Christ, this babe in the manger, who controls the wind and the waves, who holds the kings of the earth in his hand. And he loves you, and he will be faithful to all his promises to you. All of the promises of God, from Adam, Abraham, Moses to David, are united in Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Oh, yes. The end. We know how the end ends. On the last day of history as we know it, when Christ descends from the heavens, surrounded by his vast army of angels, and the church in his train, and those Christians that are left are caught up in the air to meet him, we will hear a loud voice say, "Now is the dwelling of God with men. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." The very thing that God intended there in the garden, God brings to pass through Jesus Christ. Sin and the devil do not thwart God's plan. God establishes that which he has decreed in spite of the devil's plans and the sins of man. And that is why the heavenly host that is made up of the angelic choir and the saints sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom God's favor rests." As we prepare to come to this table, let us be reminded of God's promises of Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to thee and will come again to thee. O Israel. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He is our prophet, priest, and king. He has created us to live with you, to enjoy you, and for you to enjoy us. Oh, Heavenly Father, continue your good work in us. Continue unto that day, Heavenly Father, that you have perfected your people. And work in us, Heavenly Father, the anticipation of the return of Jesus. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.